You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up and down.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a primitive
manufactured.
The hand was
freaking into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey!
Hey, how are you doing?
Off the charts. I'm sailing, brother. I am sailing. High, high, high. The wind is blowing. And we got the rig on going back west somewhere. Well,
I'll let
everybody know. We'll be in Texas tomorrow.
That is superb.
Yeah, how you doing, good buddy?
I'm doing great. 80 degrees and I got a cold. I can't believe that. Everybody else is freezing their butt off.
Is it 80 degrees there in San Diego?
Yeah.
I'll be damned. You know, it hit 76 out where I was today, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm hearing all these people talk about, oh, my God, you know, Jimmy Snell called me today, and they had the biggest, they had 2 more feet of snow land on them yesterday. Couldn't get the thing that he had to get to me out. And boy, the way, I got to tell you guys, by the way, the job he did on the anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax, ladies and gentlemen, when you see it, you will blow your mind. And I mean it. He didn't distort anything. He just added to it. Put some music and direction, moves a lot easier. When you see it, you're going to freak out. Just go out of your mind. And I got to tell you, you know, we talked about it a little bit. I capped on it about the Earth going off its axis, and I got hell from everybody, man. I got to tell you. I had every nut and fruitcake in the world call me and email me that the next year on the 21st of December 2012, the world is coming to the end because of the Mayan calendar and the complete access, the Earth's access is going to go fall off and we're all going to get swallowed up in water and black water and all this kind of stuff. I said, please, what's going on? You know, hey, give me a toot on the horn for Dave-O.
You got it.
There you go. There you go. That's great. That's great. Now listen, I got there was a question in the chat room. They said, did anybody listen to me on the Joshua P. Warren show? Well, I got to tell you something. Yeah, they happened too. And the person that asked that question was Meteo. Well, let me tell you the story, Meteo. He had one of his largest listenership last Saturday, and I'm giving myself a medal here. But every time Tom Biscardi gets on that show, for one reason or another, there's listeners from all around the world streaming on the internet and then listening on the radio show itself, okay, that love to hear what we got to say, especially when it's being condoned by him. So to answer your question, yes, and I'm sure that if you ask anybody in the chat room, they'll tell you that they were there also. We got a great show.
You know, Tom, could I make another little announcement? I'm sorry to cut you in.
Oh, go ahead.
But, you know, there were quite a few people that either didn't have computers or couldn't listen to the show. And if they either go on www.bigfootlive or they go on searchingforbigfoot.com, you'll find a button there that says podcast from that show, and you can listen to it right there. It is also in our archives.
Okay, so in other words, for those who did not listen or couldn't be there for one reason or another, missed the show, they can go to either searchingforbigfoot.com or bigfootliveradioshow.com, and there's a button, and they can catch up with things. Is that right?
That's correct. Not only that, but it's in our archives.
Oh, it's in our archives.
If they go to listen to our radio show in archives, it's also there.
Fantabulous. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, what am I to say? That's Marco Bill, and he's always on target. You bet, good buddy. Thank you so much for that. I got to tell you, we got a chock full of good old people I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. in the chat room, my God, I don't know if you noticed it. We got Alex and Angie and the Chief Monster Hunter and Connie Gilbert, my darling. We got Dave O, we got Jan Allen, we got the Gentle Giant, we got Jerry Hine. Jerry Hine, did you know that somebody called me last week when I was down here in Florida and said that they put my card on your window wherever the hell you were parked? I don't know where you were parked because they saw you as a Bigfoot researcher. And the guy says to me when he called me, he says, hey, Tom, who is this guy? Why is he out parking his car in a parking lot, and how come you ain't looking for Bigfoot? I said, well, you got to give him a call. I can't answer that. But John R., and by the way, John R. asked me a great question. He says, how come I don't talk, or would you talk, about the Patterson film? I've got just one word for you to say, or I'm just going to say, John R., bullshit. That's what I think it is. It got me into this crazy business, and after I met the people, it'll be that part will be in that movie when we met Mrs. Patterson and their relatives, and Bob Hieronymus, who was in the suit, the whole nine yards, and the man who made it, the guy who even made the suit. I don't want to talk about that because, you know, I have a problem, and I'm going to tell you about why I have that problem, John R. All these people talk about stuff that happened over 40 years ago. I'm looking what happens today and tomorrow. We're the ones that set the headlines for tomorrow's newspaper because it's people like us in the brush making things happen. The rest of this crap is nothing but crap. And, oh, by the way, I know I'm going to get a bunch of shit from a bunch of people out there, but, you know, they're all talking about, oh, my God, about the big Bigfoot conference in Canada. Well, who in their right mind is going to go up and listen to a bunch of has-beens, have nothing to contribute to the Bigfoot world, about John Green, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, if they call him a doctor, Lauren Coleman, who else, some other goofballs, I don't even know because it means nothing to me. You're going to go out there and pay $110 to get in. You got to get a passport if you're coming from the States, if you didn't have one, another $135. And then you're going to have to get transportation to and from, which is going to cost you another $350. Then you're going to have to get a hotel room for 3 days, which is another $100 a day, and then you're going to have to feed yourself. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about a $1,000 bill. Has anybody told these people, hello, the stimulus program hasn't come down to me yet. Has it funneled to the rest of you people? This world is in financial straits, man, in dire straits. We've got problems. And you're going to have a Bigfoot summit with all these has-beens that hasn't. How old is that one guy there? 87 years old? Marco?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about old people, ladies and gentlemen. That's where a lot of wisdom comes from. This guy hasn't been in the field in 25 years. What's he going to talk about? What the hell he did writing a book back in 40 years ago? Get up with the times, people. Get up with what's happening just recently. Last week, last month, last year even, for crying out loud. We're going to talk about, and you're going to sucker these people in there to come and buy your merchandise and stuff that you stole off of the other people in the world? Get real, will you? You want to buy it and spend something and you want to get a tour around the world? Go buy my DVDs. And you'll, for a lousy $19 or $29, you'll get taken a tour of the world when it comes to Bigfoot. Why do you think Bigfoot Lives is being hailed as the best documentary and most informative around the world? Sells more than anybody else's out there, including that Dr. Meldrum, whatever the hell his name is. Okay? That's scientific mumbo-jumbo bullshit. Come back to the real man, the guy that gets out there with his guys, Alex Hearn and Youngblood, Rob and TJ. All my guys, man, we're out there doing the job. Even that kid down in Florida, take my hat off to him, Timmy Frazzano. Kid's out there doing more than the rest of these bullshit artists. I get frazzled when I hear this crap, folks. So, John R., I hope you got your answer to that question. It was bullshit. That's the bottom line. Did you start me on this, Marco Bill?
No, we're running late, though.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We control the clock, remember? Let's do some shout-outs. Patrick Hansen, good buddy, you get an A and go on to the top of the class. Here's a good example, folks. Remember that thing that was up in Canada when Meldrum was up there and they were in the cabin and the creatures started throwing rocks? He's asking me a question. Well, what did they do? Well, they went and hunkered down inside the cabin, and they hunkered down like a bunch of whamsy pamsies, okay? They were afraid. There was one guy there that I saw. He was a cameraman. He got out and said, well, let's go out and find out what's throwing these rocks. Where everybody else hunkered down, man, because they were scared shitless. Excuse me, kids that are listening, but I get my feathers ruffled when I hear all this crap, because everybody knows that all that crap is nothing but entertainment. You want the real deal? Come out with us. You want to wet your pants? Come on out with us. You'll see what it's all about. The rest of these people are all crap. Jimmy Snell, Northwest. No, Northeast, I'm sorry. Outstanding job you did on Anatomy, son. Dana Bastatini, got the pictures. We'll post them next week. Concho, Georgia, I understand where you're coming from. Guys out there, another airborne ranger. Rick Miller, UFO Paranormal, thanks for the kind words. Todd Bates, Haunted Voices. I'll be on that show next week, ladies and gentlemen, 6 p.m. California time. www.hvnr.com. HVNR.com. They wanted me on for 2 hours. I said I don't do no more than an hour. The third time back. Joshua P. Warren, North Carolina, thanks for the great show last week. Thanks for your blessings and everything we're doing. Kenny and Janine in Pennsylvania, you guys are the bomb. Thank you so much. Tom Panic, you know, what's ever happened to Jody, I don't know. But we'll try to get her back on. Tom wants to know what happened to her. Is she okay? We'll find out. We'll put that on the list, Tom Panic. Sherratt writes, after seeing your video, I now believe. Thank you, Sherratt. You and a ton of others also. Shannon Sylvia, got your card. I still love you, baby. Gilbert Olivares says, Marco, I love your work. I bet you haven't seen that one, Marco.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, well, I'll forward it on to you, okay? I'll forward that on to you. And, oh, by the way, my girls, Connie Gilbert, I know she's in the chat room. She's back with us, ladies and gentlemen. And, yes, oh, yes, up there in Canada, and she's alive and kicking and doing well, and we all love her. Rebecca Butello in Washington. You know, you've done such a stellar job, girl. Just keep it up. Bo in Alabama, got your call. I haven't responded back to you. I love you, darling. Frankie in Mississippi, you're the bomb. Susan in Minnesota, got your card. You're looking great, girl. Can't get up there. We're just too busy. Backloaded. Judy Casely down here in Florida with us. You are one hell of a gal. You heard me talk about Gigi from PV. There would be no Tommy without Gigi from PV. Jerry Johansson, Arizona, wants to be a part of our team. Come on, brother. Pat Pompomi has heard those blood-curdling screams in New York and wants to know, can we help them out with it? We'll be up there before you know it, Pat Pompomi. Mr. Greenwood, guy knows that something's out there in the woods, out there in Tennessee, and he wants to know if we can come out there. We'll be there before you know it. Clover Ann, got your messages, and we're going to be talking real soon. Cindy Owens, Sunnyvale, California, thank you so much for those photos and that wonderful, wonderful email. Richie in Hawaii, I'm going to be seeing you real soon, Rich. Chuck Creel and Greg Worthington, thank you guys so much for your help. I know the crap that you got to go through, but you got to go through all that wheat and chaff to get the real deal. Bruce Schilt and the family up in Montana, we love you guys. You know it, and don't ever forget it. Kudos and salutations to all the rest of you people around the globe. Well, let's see. That was a mouthful, doesn't it? Well, you know, I got to tell you, Marco Bill, I got to tell you, it's an amazing, amazing thing what's going on out here. And I'll tell you something else. If it wasn't for us, if it wasn't for the real researchers, the real Bigfoot hunters in this world, there would be no shows like this, because all the rest of these people, all they get out there and do is regurgitate all the old crap. That's all it is. It's crap, all right? You want the real deal, you come here to Bigfoot Live. You'll get to hear it right from us. Okay, where are we starting off today? Let's see. Ooh, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, let's get out there up to Humboldt County and get to talk to my good buddy, my new acquired friend, and he may be one of our new team members. So remember this name, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Perry. Rob, you out there? Well, he's trying to...
No, he's unmuted. He should be there.
Can you hear me now, sir?
Yes. We can hear you. How are you, young man?
Oh, good. Doing very well, sir. How are you this evening?
Hey, listen, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. That's how good I feel. But you know what? Let's do a little setup here with you, Rob. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. This guy sent me an email, and he had an encounter with one of these creatures a while back. He was within 20 feet of these things. He's got pictures of footprints. He's got hair samples, and he wants to join our team. But here, this is the kind of guy that with the gonads that we're looking for, ladies and gentlemen. He came right out and said it. All right, I want to be a part of what you guys are doing. Well, I've had the initial feedback from a couple of my guys because I had them interview him before I get to do the last interview. And Youngblood Rob and Alex both, I think Alex talked to him for about an hour and a half. Didn't he talk to you? How long?
Yes, sir. It had to be about an hour and a half.
You know, I'll tell you something. The report came back favorable for you. But we're not going to talk about that right now. I just want to let everybody know about it. What I need for you to do from the beginning to the end, son, tell my listeners around the globe exactly when and where your encounter happened. And, oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the hair that he sent me is like no other hair that I've ever seen before, and we're going to get it analyzed. Tell a story.
Yes, sir. Okay, hello, listeners. My name is Rob Perry, and approximately 2.5 years ago, my brother-in-law, Wade, and I went out camping up around Hogan's Lake, which is in the Siskiyou area, and located within the Marble Mountains. Now, we had intended on staying about a week or out at the campsite. So we trekked on out there. We spent our first night there without really any incident. On the second night, came around, it started getting rather dark. Wade and I were sitting around the campfire, just talking, listening to the forest sounds and whatnot. And then we started hearing some rather strange sounds coming out of the darkness and from the woods. Now, to try to describe those sounds to you would be like just hearing something moving around, you know, in the darkness. So we got up, we started looking around, and while we were doing so, we noticed that there was a couple of packs of deer moving in on us. I mean, right into our camp, which was rather odd to me. I've been camping so many times in my life, and I've never actually had packs of deer just pack into my campsite. So that was making me a little bit nervous. Wade and I were standing up at this point, shining our lights around. We happened to be looking up the trail when, to the left of me, I heard a very faint sound. So I spun with my mag light really fast, and my light fell on a crouching shape next to a tree. Now, this stunned me for a second. I stood there, and this thing stood up on me, and immediately I thought I had a bear in front of me. So I yelled at Wade that it's a bear, and now this all was happening very fast for me at this point. It just kept rising, and I could see its eyes, and I realized that I was not looking at a bear, and I yelled, "It's not a bear," and I panicked at that point. Okay, let me back up for a second. Before I panicked, this is exactly what I saw. My light fell on this figure as it stood up, and I was able to see its head, its eyes, its face, its shoulders, its arms down to its hands. I saw its legs. I didn't see its feet. Okay, now, when I yelled, "This is not a bear," I dropped to my feet to grab my gun, and the guy that was with me spun to look and see if he could see anything, and what he saw was the back of something massive moving away from us through the woods. When I came back up, I had the gun in my hands, and I was pointing at nothing. Okay. To try to describe to you what it's like to see something that just, I've never seen anything like this before. You know, it sent me into shock. I was panicked. Wade and I, of course, had to try to figure out what it was we just saw. Because of the shock, it took us a good 15 or 20 minutes to get up the balls to go to where I saw this thing. And this was at nighttime. So we were very careful. We had our lights. We had the gun. We went out to the spot. And indeed, I did see the first track right there under the tree. I've never seen anything like this before or even encountered anything like this, and seeing that print there really reinforced the panic that Wade and I were both sharing at that point. So we went straight back to the campsite, and we stayed there until the light came out. Now, when it got light, of course, the first thing I did was go looking, and I discovered a series of tracks, a lot of tracks. So I took pictures the best I could, and I'm trying to figure out what in the heck is this. When I saw the first track, it was just unbelievable, and I had to touch it, which, 20/20 hindsight, I now know that I definitely shouldn't have touched that track. So I regret touching the track, but I did get the pictures. And it was a little bit later on in the day that Wade discovered this clump of hair. Now, there was an area where Wade and I would go to use the restroom, very responsible. We dug some holes, and that's where we did our business, so we could bury it. Now, Wade discovered, just off to the side of where we were using the restroom, a large clump of jet black hair, the hair that you mentioned. Now, and it's just like you said, seeing this hair right off the bat, the first thing that I could think was this, it looks like horse hair, but in comparison to horse hair, it's much thicker. I've honestly never seen hair that thick that looks like that. So that was an incredible find. The tracks were an incredible find. Just seeing what I saw was a life-changing time for me. That took some time to digest what I saw. But am I a believer? 100%. I had to spend some time to really try to figure out what it was that I saw. And what I saw fits the bill perfectly to what a lot of other people have seen in the world. So I felt it was more than my duty to come forward and share what it was that I saw. It's not always easy to do something like that because you worry that folks might look at you differently or think maybe you're crazy or something, and you really have to overcome that, because if you see something like that, you have to share it with the right people, and that's what I've done. You know, I got to view your film, Mr. Biscardi, and just getting to see how you were with the folks and their stories and the things they needed to tell you. I saw nothing but honor on your part and respect, and that really touched me in my heart, and it made me want to reach out and share my story. I'm really, really glad that I have. It also woke something up in me that I feel like this is meant for me, like I was meant to be a part of this. And so that's why I reached out to you in hopes that you might consider having me on the team. And really, that's kind of my experience in a nutshell there. Sorry?
I tell everybody, first of all, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, okay?
Yes, sir.
I praise you for taking a little of time of your life, especially at nighttime, to share your story with my listeners around the globe. I know that
my pleasure.
It's really tough for a lot of people because, you know, they keep it in their craw. They don't want to tell anybody due to the fact that they don't want to get used and abused and laughed at, you know, and I've done it like I told you, and I've been laughed at, and I don't give a damn because I know the truth.
That's right.
You know the truth, and that's what it's
yes,
all about.
Sir.
You know what? I think this year is going to be your year along with us, and I think that if everything comes true, you may be getting that call for me to get your bag ready and get your butt down to wherever we're at, and you just may be joining us.
That's great news, sir. I can't tell you how happy that makes me.
Okay.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, good. And not as excited as I am. I'll be in Texas tomorrow. They're going to do some shooting with us in Texas. Here we come. But nevertheless, just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot of show, and thank you for being with us, and bless you and your family.
My pleasure, sir. Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Rob, just hit your *6 button, and then you can listen to the rest of the show.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rob Perry up there in Humboldt County sharing his stories of his encounter. Hell of a nice guy, and I can't wait to see him in person. We talked on the phone. He can't wait to see what this hair analyzation is. Whatever it is, we'll let you know. Let's talk about our film real quickly here, and let's go to commercial. On the other side, we're going to go up to North Carolina and talk to Danny. But let's do a commercial real quick.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
but it is sort of like
everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Trying to manufacture
the hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives a movie
right now
at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And it's back to you, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, you can go to Netflix, you can go to Amazon.com, you can go to our website. Bigfoot Lives is being hailed as the most informative documentary ever. Bigfoot Lives 2 will be out within the next 60 days. And right now you can get The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, which is incredible. And when I tell you incredible, trust me, off the chain. You need to see it. You'll go to either one of our websites, searchingforbigfoot.com or bigfootliveradioshow.com. There's a little teaser there. And after you see that teaser, I know that you'll buy the movie because there's nothing else out there like it. Without any further ado, let's get out there to North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk to Danny. Danny, you out there?
Yeah.
How you doing, good buddy?
All right, how are you?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. At the top of the hour. What part of the Carolinas are you in?
Western North Carolina.
Give me a closest town.
In Cleveland County.
Okay. Oh, we've been out there. We've had a lot of luck out there, too. I understand that you've had an experience a few years back, and you heard these blood-curdling howls.
Yeah, that noise.
Tell me about it. Share it with me. And my
never heard nothing like it before. Until I heard that, until I stumbled into one of your videos the other day.
Uh-huh. How did you like our videos, by the way?
They're pretty nice. Pretty cool.
They're pretty. Well, what you see in those videos is the real deal. And when I tell you that, we're just portraying what those people out there, like yourself, have heard and seen, and we just forward it on to everybody else.
Well, like I said, I never have heard nothing like that since, until I heard that tape the other day.
All right, so tell us your experience. Where were you at when this all
came? We were just camping out fishing and sitting turtle hooks down at the pond, and all of a sudden this thing lights up and down the creek all night. It's the damnest racket I ever heard. It kind of sounded like a bull and leading into a scream, like a woman's scream almost, the way we always described it.
Uh-huh. And this happened all night long?
Pretty much all night long, yeah.
Wow.
A couple weeks before, my brother and another buddy were riding a dirt bike one night. Next thing I know, they come hauling ass out of the woods and nearly hit the barn. Quiet as a ghost. I said, what's the matter with you? He said, I don't know what it was, but down there on the edge of the woods, this thing was tall, hairy, and the eyes looked red when the headlights hit it. Well, you know, didn't think nothing else about it. A few weeks later, we were down there, and then that noise.
Wow. Let me ask you this. When you were listening to those screams and howls all night long, what did it do to you mentally?
Yeah, well, if we hadn't had plenty of guns with us that night, we'd have hauled ass probably, but you know, we stayed down there. If I'd have had a hat on my head, my hair would have stood up and blew the hat off. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I got to tell you, see, a lot of people don't understand that, especially with the other guy earlier when he heard the blood-curdling screams, okay, besides the howls. It is just, especially when you're out in territory where there's nobody else, just you and your team. Okay, and you know that there's nobody out there at 2 or 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, and you hear these blood-curdling sounds. I'm just going to give you a little briefing. You go north of where you were. We were in Ohio, and we had some people there with us from Channel 7, I think it was, and they were filming. We were just doing we just sent out one of those vocalizations on a speaker. And as soon as it came through, when it just finished, this thing responded back to us. Well, one of these camera people and reporters were in the brush. I think it was about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, I don't remember what time, or in the morning. And it was bitter cold. I think it was about 18 degrees. And this guy come running down the path out of the trees, and he wet his pants, Danny. He wet his pants. He was so scared. And he said, he dropped his cap. I said, where are you going? He says, did you hear those monkey sounds and them screams? He says, we saw something in that thing. He says, we're getting the hell out of here. And they ran off. They ran off, Danny. Can you imagine?
Oh, this thing was so loud. It was spring of the year, so we had they had the windows rolled out here. Didn't need to run the air conditioning. The thing woke my mother up, and it's probably 1,000, 1,500 feet to the back of the place where the pond was.
Oh, okay.
So it was loud. If you could hear it all the way up here, you know, from the back part of the place.
Wow.
He probably got within 50 yards, and he'd move on back down the creek and then back up the creek and down the creek.
Have you heard or seen anything since?
No, I hadn't heard nothing since. That's been years ago, but I hadn't heard a thing.
Well, do me a favor. If there is anything, new occurrences, please get a hold of us, would you, Danny?
Yeah, I'll give you a call. If I'd seen anything, believe me, I'd done had a trail cam set up somewhere.
Good, good. Give us a holler, will you, son?
I will.
God bless. Just mute yourself out. We've got a whole lot more show ahead of us, okay?
I hit *6, right?
There you go.
All right. Good talking to you.
Same here, good buddy. That was Danny, ladies and gentlemen, North Carolina. Hearing it all the time. You're hearing it live. We're going to go down there to Southern California with a good buddy of mine. He's been part of our research team now for a while. And I got to tell you something. I love this guy. You've heard me talk about him, Richie Stubstead. And he's the guy that really intimidates these pros, these doctors, these people that got the door in front of their name and the PhD, a post-hole digger, letters in back of their name, because he probably knows more than they do, and they get all intimidated, all right? Richie, you out there?
Hit your *7 button, Richard.
Yep, I'm here.
How are you, good buddy?
I'm hanging in there.
Happy New Year to you one more time.
And same to you.
Haven't talked to Richie. He's been under the weather but working hard as usual. And when you heard me last year, ladies and gentlemen, talk to Rich and a couple of the other guys, he's the guy that stepped forward. He's the guy that has his degrees in a different type, but he's got more common sense than these doctors and these PhDs. And he really intimidated and threatened them in their own field. And the reason being is because he knows what he's talking about. And I say that from good experience because I was there in Texas with the good doctor, and you were on the phone, and after you got through talking to her, she just shook her head and said to me, well, you know, he doesn't have the schooling that I got, but I'll be damned if he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I praise you for that, my good friend.
Well, thank you very much.
I do, because I've seen you shake your head at their determinations and evaluations and their analyzations and say, no, they're not right. And they don't like to be put on the spot, I've noticed. Have you noticed that?
A lot of them don't, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? It's people like you. It's people like myself, Richard, okay, that puts these people on the spot to say, hey, wait a minute. Just because you say it, it's gospel? Or wait a minute, do you have an open mind? And can you absorb like a big sponge and think of a new theory and a new hypothesis? That's when you know you've got somebody intelligent that you can deal with. Not these people that narrow-minded and say, hey, no, it's either this way or the highway. And that's the way I believe, Rich. And that's the reason why I'm honored to talk with you. I'm honored to have you on our show because you think outside the box, okay? You know, there's the old adage with me. You know, if there's a wall there, I'm going to think about how I'm going to go around, over, or under this thing, okay? Not that there's you cannot go through it. And I think you're the same way, aren't you?
I think so. To bring you up to date, since I talked to you last, I haven't been doing a lot of work on Sasquatch DNA because I've taken a new job. My other job ran out of work, and at 69 years old tomorrow.
God bless you. Happy birthday.
Go ahead.
I says, God bless you, and happy birthday in advance.
Thank you. Pretty old age to start a new job, but I started one on January 1st of this year, and I've been pretty busy doing that. But I can tell some interesting side issues that have come up in the meantime since we last talked.
Please do.
One of them is about how tricky this DNA work can be. And there's a couple of professors over in Germany at the Max Planck Institute. One of them is named Pabo, and the other one is named Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. And their cohorts have analyzed Neanderthal DNA, not only the mitochondrial side, the mother's side, but also the nuclear DNA. And they have found out, much to everyone's surprise, that Neanderthal is not a separate species. It's essentially another Homo sapiens. And the way they did that is they analyzed maybe a dozen or half a dozen samples from around the world, and they found out, much to their surprise, that everybody who's been, every tribe in the world who hasn't been isolated in Africa for 100,000 years or more is partly Neanderthal. And that means practically everybody listening to this radio program turns out to have Neanderthal DNA in them to the tune of 1 to 4%. And they figure that's because there was interaction, sexual and otherwise, many thousands, tens of thousands of years ago between Homo sapiens and Homo neanderthalensis. And the result is that we're all partly Neanderthal. In spite of all the jokes, we're all partly Neanderthal. All the Asian races, the European races, North American races, South American, Australian, even Papua New Guinea had part Neanderthal DNA. And they never believed that until these guys came up and analyzed the whole nuclear DNA genome. And here we are. We're the Neanderthal, so the joke's on us.
So here's what we've evolved to, huh?
This is what we've evolved to. So someplace along the line, there was interaction between Neanderthal and Homo sapiens. And as a result, we're all partly Neanderthal against everyone's expectations. And
wow.
That's been proven. Kind of missed, the media kind of missed this one. Because the analysis is very scientific, and even Pabo and Green missed it earlier on when they did the mitochondrial DNA analysis, because they couldn't see anything in the mitochondrial that would indicate that we were partly Neanderthal. So now they've had to eat their words once they looked at the whole thing and said, "Oh my God, we are partly Neanderthal."
You know what blows my mind, Richie, is that. You know, there's a correlation here, and I hope the PhDs that are out there thinking and listening to what my good friend Richie just said, subset, is that open your minds, people, okay? The door isn't shut. There are new discoveries each and every day. Richie, God bless you. I'm glad to see that you're still on this side of the ground, and we love and miss you. We'll have you on down the line.
Okay, thank you. Nice to be on.
Happy New Year, good brother.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll mute myself up.
Okay.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me talk about him. He's been with us for a while now, and he's a great guy, one great guy, and I applaud him. I really do. Without any further ado, we got a lot of show left. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going out there to West Virginia.
Sorry, Tom. Don Creel did not make it on the show for some reason, and I can't contact him. So we'll have to have him on another show. How about Mitch? He's on next. Mitch, unmute yourself.
Hey, good buddy. Mitch, wait, you out there? Arizona. Well, you know, our people out there in the
Okay, I'm here.
He's there. Okay, he got.
Mitch, you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you, good buddy? Did you get my phone message today?
Yeah, I just got it a few minutes ago. I just came walking in.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm going to call me up after the show. I want to discuss a few things with you on some hair samples and everything. And we're leaving right after the show here. We're going to be in Texas tomorrow. They're going to do some filming with us for 4 days. Mogollon Rim.
I've been up there on the rim yesterday. It melted off a lot of the snow, and I'm seeing more activity in footprints and animal prints and so forth. So it is looking a lot more active now instead of being buried in snow.
Uh-huh. You know what? Let's get Alex on the phone here with us. We don't have to have this static. Alex, are you there? Okay. That's better, Alex, because I don't know if it's picking up here somehow. Okay. Good to have you on, son. Listen, you hear what Mitch said, that there's some activity going on now up there. Alex?
Yeah, the snow's breaking up, Mitch. It's starting to clear up in the lower levels.
Yeah, Alex just dropped off. I think he's got problems.
Hey, Mitch?
Yes?
So tell the listeners out there what's been going on. What's the temperature been like? Is there snow on the ground? Is it sleet? Is it raining? What's going on?
Well, this last week it's been pretty nice. It's been in the 70s, and about half of the snow has melted off, so it's pretty muddy. It makes for great tracking. I was up there running my cameras today, or yesterday, swapping out the SD memory cards and the batteries, and we actually found some indentations around the tree where one had stood around the tree and tried to pull one of the cameras down. So they're getting more active now. It's warming up a little bit. So we're getting ready to give them a run for their money.
You know what's blowing my mind? I hope you've been listening. I know you have. I've been saying it for 4 months now that this is going to be the craziest weather and all the crap that's going on. You know, it's in some areas, it's the coldest weather recorded in 50 years. But yet now here it is, January 20th, okay? And we're getting 80-degree temperatures in parts of this country. It was 76 in the part of Florida I was in today. Marco Bill's in San Diego, 3,000 miles on the other side of the United States, and he said it was 80 degrees. But in between, in pockets there and far and fro, they're getting, you know, 3 below zero, 17 degrees. They're getting pummeled with 2 feet of snow in New Hampshire. I mean, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's pretty strange, all right. I was running around in my T-shirt. You know, I wasn't even wearing a coat the other day, and it was kind of nice.
I know it's kind of nice for you guys out in the West Coast, and that's where we normally are. But I've got to tell you, if we're confused and don't know what's going on, what's happening with these creatures, Mitch? What's going on in their minds right now? What do you think?
Well, I'm sure it's probably screwing up their food source, and they're probably pretty worried about that.
And that's a major thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Because if the trees blossom out too early, they're going to lose out on their apple crop and their berry crop and so forth like that, and then it's going to be a lot harder to have them gain weight during the summer.
Exactly, all right, especially the ones that go into hibernation to beef up like bears. It's a crazy thing right now. I have never in my life seen it like this, and I've been around this earth for a few moons just like you have, and I'm just wondering, you know, you think it has anything to do with what they're predicting for next year?
It's kind of hard to say. You know, they say global warming will mess things up like that, but you know, about 3 weeks ago, we actually had snow here in Mesa, Arizona. That only happens like once every 40 to 50 years.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you I'm not giving you a geography lesson, but Mesa is right next to Phoenix, and Phoenix is right next to Apache Junction, and you've all heard about the Lost Dutchman gold mine. Well, that's right there at the Superstition Mountains. I was there. I was there in June of 1981, leap year, and my God, it was 126 degrees out in that damn desert, those mountains, when I was there. And here he's talking about it went from a big, big swing of 100 and something to, what do you think the temperature was? It had to be below 32, right, to snow?
Well, it was a heavy frost warning, so it was about 27 degrees, if I remember right.
27 degrees. Think about it, folks. Think about it. It was 99 degrees difference when I was there. So from 126 to 99, that's a big swing, ladies and gentlemen. Something is just not right. Something is happening to this axis of this of the earth and everything else to go with it. It is weird as hell. Alex, are you back on?
I sure am, Pop.
Well, tell us what's going on, man. I mean, you know, it's blowing everybody's mind here. What's your 2 cents on this subject?
Well, on the axis of the earth,
yeah.
The truth is, you know, that's just one of these conspiracies for these wackos out there. The earth's axis has not changed more than 5% in 790 to 800 million years. And that's documented. Just Google it. The weather, though, you know, we're having a crazy year in the weather. We did almost have snow down here in Gilbert, northern Scottsdale. I guess Mesa had it. The superstitions were topped in snow for a couple of days there. The peaks are covered in snow here now. But we're having temperatures in the valley in the high 70s, approaching 80. So it's really strange. We had a couple of nights, two or three weeks ago, that were in the low 30s, and now we're, you know, in the 40s or 50s at night. But during the day, we're up in the high 70s.
Well, what do you think? What's in store for everybody down the road?
Weather-wise?
Yeah.
Just more of the same. There's no global warming. We don't have no shift of the poles. The ice caps aren't melting any more than they're supposed to be melting, at least not by man. You know, they talk about the fluorocarbons. Well, those kind of chemicals, fluorocarbons and such, that one volcano puts out more fluorocarbons than all of mankind does in the whole Earth. And, you know, you give a year when we have a lot of volcanoes like we have in the past. Now, don't want to jinx us. We haven't had that many that have made the global news. You know, like a few years back, we had, I think, 13 in one year. Well, one volcano puts out basically more pollution than all the cars man can make. So if there's any global warming, it's global, it's natural, because Mother Earth is pouring out more fluorocarbons than the ozone can handle, and it's warming up. We're coming out of an ice age right now, technically. We're in the tail end of the ice age. So, you know, it's just normal. And then in a couple million years, we'll go back into another ice age. So it's just normal progression with times. And what does that mean for us? Probably a lot of research we can do in as the climate changes.
You know what? I got to tell you a story. I'm proud of you. All those people that say to me that you didn't know what you were doing, you just talked like an Oxford professor right now. And what? No, I don't know what you said, but I'll tell you, I believed what came out of your mouth. Listen, I want to ask you a question, and you too, Mitch. Just chime right in. What do you think about this Bigfoot summit they're having in Canada? And there, it's John Green and what's that other guy? Lauren Coleman and Jeff Meldrum and who's the guy that was with Patterson? Gimlin and one other guy. Do you see what it's costing? $110 to go to this thing to regurgitate all the shit that happened 40 years ago. What's your take on this?
Well, it sounds to me like somebody's trying to make some money.
Thank you, Mitch. I like that. But you see, when Biscardi's out there, he's just in this for the money. But at least we're out there searching, aren't we? These other clowns that are having these summits and conferences that don't go nowhere, what are they in it for? Remember, folks, these people get a lecture's fee. They get their expenses paid, okay? So somebody's got to pay it, and guess who that somebody is? It's you with your hard-earned dollars. Don't ever forget it, okay? So when they start to say, well, Jeff, Biscardi's only in this Bigfoot business for money, you betcha I am. I said it from the beginning, because it doesn't take 2 cents to roll the way we do. It's costing us about $1,000 a day, folks. $1,000 a day. Do the math. It's a lot of money. And somebody's got to pay it, because somebody's out there doing the job, aren't they? What it's all about. What's your take on it, Alex? I just heard what he had to say.
Well, you know, if they're going to have Bob Gimlin there, and I've never met the man, and he seems like a very nice man, they should have Bob Hieronymus there, too. And let's see these two guys face-to-face, one call the other one a liar. I know when they were going to be face-to-face on our show, One of them didn't show up, and that was Bob Gibson.
That's right. And why do you think that is?
I think it speaks for itself.
You bet. We were there, and they live, ladies and gentlemen, no more than about six houses from each other on the same street. I gave that man ample time. I went to his door. You'll see it in our new film, Bigfoot Lives Too. And my team was out there with me. We gave him ample time. We invited him to dinner with the rest of the people. We know the truth that happened there that day, that supposed day in October, which was filmed way before, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to know the truth. But that was the day that they happened to pick to tell you all about it. We met the man. We got him. You'll see him on film that made the suit and sold it to Roger Patterson. And we met the family members, and they're going to tell the story in their own words, as we've done with everything else we've done. But you're exactly right. You're exactly right. How come they don't invite Hieronymus and pay him a speaker's fee and pay his expenses and let him pair off in a ring there or on a podium or a dais? Because you know why. There wouldn't be nothing else to talk about. So who else are they going to have out there? The rest of these phonies? I don't know. What's a better word for than phony, Alex?
Con artist.
Bullshit artist. You know, there you go. I like that.
2 minutes, Tim.
Yeah, I know, Marco. And I don't mean to romp on any of these other people's on their parade or anything. But remember one thing, you guys out there. You pseudo-researchers and pseudo-Bigfoot hunters, okay? Don't throw stones when you live in glass houses. What do you think of that, Mitch?
That sounds like good advice.
Do me a favor. Call me after the show. I need to talk to you. Thank you, son. Thank you, all my guests. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
Turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a
primitive manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together?